Good morning, Central Family. My name is Robert Wade. I am one of the newly appointed elders here at Central Church. This week, like last week, will be the four of the new elders going to present. Go ahead.
My name is Rondell Crittenden. I'm also one of the newly appointed elders here at Central Church. And good morning, family. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to help you this morning be encouraged, to be lifted up. I would just like to speak on some things that David said earlier pertaining to the bread and the blood. We're here today remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For us who are believers, it's not just a one-time thing or an occasion in which the world celebrates at one particular moment during the year. Many, as we know, in the world have chosen to look at this day and be remembered that Jesus died, that he was a man who was crucified. Some say that he may have been raised. Some say that he may not have been raised in the world. But as a family and a body here, as believers, on the third day, and with that hope, we're given an opportunity to encourage not only one another here at this body, but it's the message of the gospel that we should present to the whole world. And I pray that as you listen to us today, that you will find hope in this time of turmoil, that you would not be confused by what's going on in the world, that you won't be stressed. But God has called us out of darkness into light because of who he is and because his spirit lives in us. Oftentimes we find ourselves in situations we're not sure of where to look, who to talk to, or what we're going to do. But because we have the scriptures that have been given to us, we have God's word. And because we have been united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection, we have the spirit that lives in us, which is an inheritance, guaranteeing that when Christ returns, we shall be with him. That's part of the hope that we have. But we also have a hope that we have one another, that we're not left alone. Because when Jesus ascended, he promised us that he would return. He promised that he would return for his body. He promised that he would return for us, those who are believers. And so while we're here on this earth, we're not alone. We have one another, and yet we still have God's spirit that lives in us. And I pray that as you go about your day, as you go about your week, step away from the television, meditate on God's word, seek who he is, try to understand what his will is for your life. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word which comes from the mouth of God." John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says, "To the Jews who had believed on him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teachings, and you will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" In John chapter 8, the nation of Israel had been proud in itself and in its inheritance, remembering that they were descendants of Abraham. But Jesus told them, "It's not who you are physically a part of, it's who I am, and you should look to me for your answers. You should trust in me. You should believe my word, because my word is truth, it is life, and it is light." We have many other examples in the book of Romans, as David mentioned earlier. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection, we have been united in Christ. We have been given life. We have been united through that union of baptism, being born again, raised again in life, so that we would know who we belong to, not only Christ Jesus, but to one another. And that's an encouragement I pray that you would share with your family, that you would be encouraged by the words of Christ in his word and also in scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll read just a few words. 1 Corinthians 15, looking at verse 20, it says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." In Christ, all will be made alive. May you be encouraged by these words. May your hope be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Once again, my name is Ron Crittenden, Rondell, if you will. I'm one of the new elders here at Central Church of Christ. And we have an amazing group of men here who have decided to give their lives to help lead this body. And it's not an I thing. It takes all of us, because we have been united through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I'm going to turn it back over to Robert.
You know, Rondell, when I was called, in this case, literally physically called by a telephone to tell me I was nominated to take this position, I was a little taken back. I don't know that I was, I certainly don't sense that I was anxiously desiring the opportunity. I remember thinking, this is going to change my future plans quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You never feel worthy. You know, I never thought, yes, I have achieved this status. I am worthy of its calling. Mm-hmm. I feel actually quite the opposite. And I'm not sure what you sensed when you were called, but one of the things the only question I really asked was who else was going to be nominated. Mm-hmm. Who else had been nominated? And when I heard the list, I thought, I am really excited about the opportunity to get to know those other gentlemen. And that was really a strong motivation for me. I don't know, I certainly don't feel like, you know, I'm worthy of the calling. And Alan mentioned in several of the classes, you know, we're not worthy. We have not achieved some status that we have earned this. Matter of fact, I think it's going to be costly, but I do sense that I am joyful in the calling, but I was certainly not happy about the calling. I don't know what you sensed, but that was certainly what went through my mind.
Well, my sense was a sense of total humility.
Yeah.
Something that was beyond my comprehension, simply for the fact that the body of Central here looked at me as a man who was responsible in teaching the gospel,
mm-hmm. Right.
Responsible in how I took care of my family, how I raised my kids, how I loved my wife. And even before that, the opportunity to be a husband, to be a leader in my household, that has always been important to me, because I believe that as a man, once we are married and we have children, that is our first ministry.
It is.
It
never goes to second.
Yeah. If we've never been in ministry before, I truly believe that is our first ministry. And that is something that I have never taken lightly. I have always tried to be, from what I understand scripture to be, try to learn and understand what God's word has said pertaining to be the head of the household, yeah, in a spiritual sense, not one who lords over, but with compassion and grace and mercy. And trying to understand my wife and helping her to be a better woman, to help her to be a better Christian woman. That's something that we have worked together on. I think we do very well as a team. She is my motivation and one of the reasons I am here today as an elder. And I'm very thankful for what she has done for me and what she has taught me. Definitely compassion,
sure.
Definitely mercy, definitely grace. The same thing with my kids. It is indeed an honor to have been selected, to have been chosen. It was something that I definitely did not expect. And my response was, as a Christian man, I think every Christian man should strive to be the leader, the spiritual leader in his household, to take that responsibility and to honor God through the study of his word, through meditation, through prayer, and not take that lightly. There are so many young men and so many young women who want and need to hear the gospel. And it needs to start at a young age. I believe the older that you get, the older it is to accept the message of Jesus. That's not always the case, but I believe that hearts need to be touched at a young age. And that's why I'm so thankful for my wife and how she and I have partnered together to raise our kids, to teach them who Jesus is, that he is Lord, that he is creator God, that their lives are important in a world that says otherwise pertaining to young black men and young black women. Not so much of a race thing, but just as an individual, there are so many young men and women who feel lost because they don't have people to encourage them. And God's word is a word of encouragement. It is a word of hope. God's word speaks of it being light and life, able to not only lift one up, but to encourage others, to help them to understand why we are here on this earth. God has put us here for a purpose. And I believe that is not only to serve him, but to serve and to help others see that Jesus does love them. There are so many other things. Just being here at this body, getting to know these brothers, getting to know you, and the examples that we have. There are so many great examples of men in this body who have been an influence in my life, and I'm very thankful. I won't mention any names, but I think they know who they are. And many are sitting in this room right now behind the scenes. But it is indeed an honor to have been chosen as an elder to be and to lead.
You know, the thing that the four of us have, we have some commonalities. Well, we're all in our 50s.
Speak for yourself.
Some of it showing worse than others, but my beard makes me look older. We're also full-time employed. We're all fully employed at the time. The other thing, we all came to Central at about the same time. Mm-hmm. Now, if I came here, Brenda and I moved here and started coming to Central in 92. I know some of us were here. Jamie followed, David followed. And when we all were part of a very early class taught by Phil Allen and mm-hmm. and later by Ed and Richard, it was a very good time to be here. We're all young, childless, free, unfinancially strapped. If we were, we weren't concerned about it. It was a good time, and we did come up with a lot of marvelous people who are older than us, guiding us. There are, you know, we're going to walk into a situation where we have. And I counted the other day, I can't remember because I should be good with numbers, but I'm not. I think we have seven or eight men in this congregation who were elders at one time in the past. And That's a fantastic blessing for us because this is not a congregation without a lot of insight and wisdom. And I'm excited about it. So I moved here, like I say, I moved here to Huntsville in 91. Before that, I could best be described as a transient. I think I was, when I was 11, I moved to a town in West Kentucky, and I think it was the 15th home I'd lived in. I had moved a lot. My parents were only 21 years older than I am. 21 when I was born. They were college students. I was born on campus. My first home were dorms. My dad was an academic with a short stint through the Army. And so between all those moves, I moved primarily not from base to base, but from university to university. Okay. And I just the way I lived. I didn't know that you didn't go to different school at every grade. You know, it was years before I went to two grades in a row in the same school. And, you know, it's left an impact on the way I see things. For good or evil, I can adapt. I've always been able to adapt. But I've also have short-term relationships. It's sort of the way it led me to be. I met Brenda at Tennessee Tech in Cookeville, Tennessee, where I came out of Kentucky and she came out of Tennessee. We both were engineers, both the same age. We graduated together, got married in the same year in 87, lived in Chattanooga before working our way to a couple places in Chattanooga, to Scottsboro, and then ultimately to Huntsville. And when we got here in 91, we found our way to Central in 92. We found Central at a very interesting time. People just a little bit older than us, there weren't that many. People our age, there were starting to become quite a few. Mm-hmm. It was a great time to be here, a very encouraging time, and it was very exciting. So that's how I got here. And I was, like I said, my dad's a professor. He is an academic. I've always tended to like that. I have that part of his persona that I'd like to be. I'm academic, and I tend to like to teach. But you talked about just a minute ago how so many young people come. If they don't come early, they almost never come. Mm-hmm. My dad was one of the rare latecomers. My dad grew up Methodist. Mother grew up in church. And my father wasn't baptized until 8 years ago or something like that. It's kind of just take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Oh, my, that was dangerously nerve-wracking. He was very much just didn't like what he heard. He didn't like the attitudes of what he heard, but his knowledge of Scripture was pretty high. His reasoning and logic and calmness was very high. And so those are very strong influences on me about how we think and do things. Is critical. So I've been here since 92. I don't know what to do with myself. I remember somewhere around the late 90s, I started thinking, oh, I got to move. I just can't stand the thought of I've been in one place for 5-6 years. But my wife Brenda did not move a lot. Once we began to have a real stable, good set of friendships and connections and relationships, this church helped us grow, helped her grow, helped me grow, helped us grow, that I looked at this and thought, I'm here. Mm-hmm. This is a good place. We're gonna be glad. So that's how I got to Central. And I don't remember when I started teaching, but it was fairly early, and probably in that class with Ed and Richard.
Well, Mr. Ed is not only a great friend, but an excellent mentor. I became a Christian in 1986 through the campus ministry at Alabama A&M University. I grew up in an African Methodist Episcopal Zion church in South Alabama, Greenville, Alabama. Huh? Great preachers, great teachers, but there was something in my life after I graduated high school that I felt internally was just missing. Yeah. When I got to Alabama A&M University, I was studying physics with a minor in computer science. Tough times, a lot of study, constantly being asked out to Bible study, and I just didn't have the time. Studying calculus and physics and electronics all at the same time as a sophomore, freshman, junior, takes up a lot of your time.
It does. I recall.
I remember typing a lot of papers and waking up and looking at the screen in the same letter, went for days on the screen because I'd fallen asleep. But eventually, I ended up meeting Gary Benford, the campus minister at that particular time. And awesome guy, one of my mentors to this day. I remember sitting in a classroom lecture session at A&M, and a brother named, I think it was Steve Balk, was preaching from Acts chapter 8. Peter was admonishing the church, telling them about who Jesus was, saying that they needed to repent, that Jesus had died for our sins. Yeah. And when I heard that statement at that particular moment, it was as if though everything that I had ever heard or read about Scripture just made sense. Hmm. I was able to focus in on the fact that Jesus Christ died for me. You know how you have one of those visions where everything, your focus is so intense that you see nothing else but what's directly in front of you? That was one of those moments for me. And I think it was a week later after that that I decided that I needed to obey the gospel. I knew that I needed to obey the gospel in baptism to be united with Christ so that my sins would be forgiven, so that I would be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And my life has never been the same. I met my my wife, Juanita. She was part of the campus ministry. So many great friendships developed through that. We ended up getting married. I spent 13 years in the United States Air Force. And we started having kids. And I had the opportunity, because of the teaching of the gospel and believing that the man in the house should be the spiritual leader, not only from Scripture, but seeing that from my dad, seeing it from men that I had grown up around in my childhood, I knew that it was my obligation to bring my children to Christ. No one else's, not a school, not the church, but it was my responsibility as a father, as a spiritual leader, to help lead my kids to Christ. And so I'm thankful that I got an opportunity to study with my sons. My wife and I got an opportunity to study with our children, Devin, Brandon, and Cameron. And so I was to raise our kids. I can't emphasize enough what it is to just simply love the Lord and to love His Word and to be able to sit down with your family, to break away from the television, to break away from the busyness of life, to break away from the job, and to just sit down and have a conversation about Jesus. To sit down and think about how Scripture is changing your life and how you're motivated to not only learn about who Jesus is, but to be motivated to share that with not only your family, but with those outside of your family.
Yeah.
Acts 2:42 says that they were devoted to His teachings. And it goes on to say at the end of that verse that many were added unto the body because of that devotion. You know, they broke bread. They fellowshipped. They spent time with one another. That's what we need to do. I believe that's a basic verse. I can't remember the whole verse right now because there's so much on my mind. But The Word of God is powerful. And I would not be here today had somebody not reached out to me and saw something in me that needed to change. And it's so important that we each one reach one, because that's what it's all about. In the end, when everything is gone, money, wealth, health, all we have is each other as a body.
And no government, no pandemic, no culture, no whatever can separate that unless we want it to be.
Exactly.
And so we're glad that we are able to sit here in front of these lights and cameras. It's a substitute. It's not a good one. But the reality is, all around the world, we are connected with millions and millions of people who believe, and we're not normally in the room with them at the same time either way. So, Brent and I both were also positive products of campus ministry. When I left high school, I had pretty much lost interest in all that I had heard. I was no longer fascinated by church, and I had little interest in it. And I was willing to give it one last shot. And if it did not turn out positive, I was more than willing to walk away from it. And so when I got to this particular campus, we had a very large campus ministry, much like Central had within the 80s and 90s with A&M, and to a lesser extent UAH, but a very strong one with A&M. At Tennessee Tech, they had a very large one too. There was 100 students. And every one of these students, 120 students, they were there because they chose to be there. They weren't there because it was part of the curriculum, and they had to do it to achieve their graduation. They were there because they wanted to be. And once you get around people who want to be doing that, that is a very positive thing. Then you build each other up and grow. Indirectly, I met the other two new guys through that ministry. I met Jamie when he was my roommate in college, who he and I shared leadership at that Christian group. He went to grad school at Georgia Tech, and I got married. I went to work. And Brent and I went down to visit him one time just to see how he was doing down in Atlanta. He was working with a college group. Somebody, some kid on crutches was there. It was Jamie. Hmm. And so I met my first contact with Jamie via this ministry. And I met David the same way. Several years later, another roommate who went to Central at the time was living in Huntsville. I was living in Scottsboro, and we came over to see him, and we met his roommate, who I thought was odd at the time. I've expressed this to him about how odd I thought he was. Little did I know that he would become a very good friend, and now, he's very dear. And so I've met through campus ministry through a lot of these people. Plus, I think these campus ministries are important because, you know what, Rondell, I'm going to tell you something. People make three great decisions in life. This is Robert's opinion. It doesn't have to be supported by anyone or by Scripture. This is just Robert's opinion. People make three great decisions in life. And the first one, they are, what are they going to do about their career? What are they going to do about their spouse? And what are they going to do about their God? Mm-hmm. Those are made by 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. That's scary.
Yeah.
We're not talking about small decisions here, right?
Right.
We're talking about ones that have gigantic impacts, multi-general gigantic impacts. And they're being made by teens in early 20s. I think that's a place where we want to be having a lot of influence mm-hmm. and encouragement for those very reasons. And I think those are a good thing. Those led to good things for me. They led me to meeting my wife. They led me to all those places. And within that time, I'd made my decision about what I was going to do about my God. I was in.
Mm-hmm.
I chose my wife and chose my career, and I walked out of there in 87 focused. It was a good thing.
And it led you here.
It led me here to where I'm sitting here on a stage in front of a bunch of spotlights with you. And I'm glad for all those things.
And that's the amazing thing about the gospel, because what it does, it allows us to be unified regardless of where we're from, regardless of how we were raised, regardless of what our job is, regardless of the music that we like to listen to, regardless of, you know, what types of sports or activities that we like to partake of. The gospel is amazing simply because of who it represents, Jesus Christ. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. I am humbled to come before the body, to share a part of my life as a new elder. And I still can't believe that I'm saying that sometimes.
Still doesn't sound, I haven't.
It hasn't completely sunk in. But to me, it's one of the greatest callings.
It is.
That I personally could ever accept in my life. Yeah. And for that, I am thankful and most humbled. And I pray that as a leader here, I will still be Rundell, but I ask that the body here would continue to pray for me and my family, as well as the senior elders, as well as the new elders here, but continue to pray for one another, continue to love one another, continue to stay in the Word, continue to read, continue to meditate, and to continue to share God's Word. Be mindful of all the great things that God has done for you today. The very breath, 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago, I realized I was in the hospital with pneumonia. And literally that first week, I did not know if I was going to be alive or not. And that allowed me an opportunity of a lot of reflection. I could not move. I couldn't raise my hands. Yeah. I couldn't feed myself. I was on a ventilator. And it showed me that as a human being, that everything I am capable of doing is not because of the power that I have. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because the Creator God allowed me to simply be.
To simply be.
Yeah.
Well, looking at the time and the schedule that's on our board here, it looks like we're approaching the end. I've enjoyed this conversation with you, Rundell. We both enjoyed the opportunity to get to present to you. We sure wish you were here. We would much prefer to be among you. But we're grateful for at least this method. Had this been 10 years ago, it would have been impossible to do it this way. So we're grateful for all those who put this together. You want any last thoughts, or are we going to turn this over to John?
One last thought. Keeping in mind that this is the day that the world remembers the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we not only remember, but we have participated in that death, burial, and resurrection. And Christ now lives in us. And because of who we are, we have an opportunity to share that grace, to share that message, to share God's love with the entire world. Not in just the remembrance of one day or a special day during the year, but having an opportunity to share the gospel in which people can partake of that death, burial, and resurrection, that remembrance every day of their lives until the Messiah returns. So thank you for allowing me and Robert an opportunity to share a part of our lives and to be a part of this great body here at Central. Thank you.